Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's say with gusto, right? Gusto. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to you.
Sabbath.
It has been a happy Sabbath from long for 6,000 years, and it's going to be a happy Sabbath forever. Amen. If you are part of it.
Amen.
If you're not part of it, it won't be happy, but you need to be part of it. We like to welcome Brother Ton and his wife. We haven't seen you for a long time. It's one thing unique about our service today. I could hear amen background. Amen, amen. It's coming from all the way to the back there. It's nice to see, to have you, Brother Kelly, with us. It's very nice. And those young little ones here, we haven't then seen them for ages. They even look different now. And we are welcome them in their mom too. We have others here that let me see. Is there somebody else that comes here that everybody else is coming? Oh, no, there is a young man there. With the mask, I don't know. We can barely see, but would you stand? Yeah, it's you. Would you stand and tell us your name? The one right in front of Brother David. Yes. Tell us your name. I cannot hear very well from here. Yes. Welcome. I hope that I'll be able to hear, you know, you so that I can memorize your name too. Thank you for being so being with us. Everybody else that is here, we are blessed that you chose to worship with us. Miley, you have a friend there with you too, right? Yes. She has been here before, of course, but we are very happy that you're here with us as well. Okay? Everyone, may this be the best Sabbath of your life. There is one lady there too. Welcome to our service. She has been here before, and we are very happy to see you again. Thank you. Everybody else, let's use this moment not only to edify our beliefs, but glorify the one who we believe to, and also seek the justification that we all need, because we all sinners and we need justification. We are here to talk about God's grace. We are here to experience His grace. We are here to share His grace. We are here to embrace His grace. We are here because of His grace.
Amen.
And nothing else. Nothing else. So let's open the Bible, the scriptures. Last week, for the benefit of those that were not here last week, the topic of last week was the Good Shepherd. Now, Jesus used the adjective good to make distinction between him and all the other shepherds, because there are a lot of shepherds. And by the way, shepherd, pastor is the same word, okay? There are a lot of pastors. There are a lot of shepherds. There are very strange ones out there. And the Bible even mentioned there are shepherds that all that they want is to eat their sheep. Not to feed them, but to feed all of them. And we see this gospel of prosperity going on television and send us your billions. And those preachers, they have yachts, they have all the things. By the way, there's nothing wrong about having good things. But when they become idols, when they become the only reason, the purpose, what drives you, then that is bad. So that's why Jesus Christ, I'm a good shepherd. And you remember why he said he was the good one? He said one thing very unique. I give my life for my sheep. And he said, my sheep knows me and hears my voice. Not everyone, no matter how loud that they can speak, can really be heard. The reason why Jesus was heard is because he was speaking voices that explain why God is so gracious. He was the instrument of delivering grace. That's why people want to hear him. Now, this is what the definition of a good shepherd. It says, I want you to pay very close attention to this because I'm connecting the last week's message with this today's message. So it's important for you to see both. The good shepherd, one who herds, guards, and tends sheep. One who cares. Let me make sure that my microphone is on. Give me a second, please. Yes, it is. And so one who cares for and guides a group of people. One who protects and provides nourishment. And one who directs and instructs. All four are necessary. Now, today's message. Some of you may have seen, received the bulletin. It says, the title is A Good Mother. And instead of having a baby in her hand, she has somebody else's baby in her hand. A sheep. Now, I chose this picture just to make a contrast with the last week's picture of Jesus carrying a sheep. So please notice there is a correlation between the two. Today's message, of course, entitled The Good Mother. What is a good mother? Here is what it says. A good mother is one who herds, guards, and tends her sheep. What, Pastor? Hold on. One who cares for and guides a group of people. One who protects and provides nourishment. One who directs and instructs. Do you follow what I'm trying to do? She is the mother church. She does exactly what the good shepherd does. Exactly the same function, because the mother church is the body of the good shepherd. So the mother is a reflection of the good shepherd if she is a good mother. And that's not only the sense of the church, but it's also the sense of any woman that God has entrusted with the precious ones for them to raise. So please, I know that a few more days from now, a few more weeks, it will be Mother's Day. But this is extra. So please notice. By the way, there are mothers not because they gave birth to someone, but because they found a rejected child and embraced that child and raised as her own. Not every woman that gives birth becomes a mother. There are a lot of women that gives birth and they never become a mother. Because to be a mother is more than just give birth. To be a mother, you can read all four of there. Is the one who guards and tends, is the one who protects, is the one who cares, who provides nourishment. No place over there says the one who gives birth. So this is what being a mother is all about, the mother church. Okay, go ahead. Somebody was about to take a picture and I move. Okay, Jesus Christ, this is Luke chapter 15. Verse 1, it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners, all the bad ones, all the not so good people from society, all the rejects. If you ever felt rejected in your life because of you are female, because you're old, because you're young, because you're black, white, blue, whatever you are, if you ever felt that, I don't fit in, I believe that you should read Luke 15 and find the grace that this chapter offers to everyone who once felt rejected in their lives. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners, they came. Why? They came near to him. Why? Because they want to hear this new message. A message totally different than I have ever heard before. We are being invited to be part of the kingdom. We, the not so good ones. There is chance for us. We don't need to feel defeated. There is a place for us. So let's go and hear this individual who is inviting us to to be part of something so great, so special. Them all. No one left behind. All of them. But the sad part is that everyone come to church, but not everyone come for the same reason. Not everyone come to be near him and to hear what he has to say. Because, you see, there is a difference between listening and just hearing. A lot of people can hear. We hear noises and still we do not understand, but we just hear. But listening involves a commitment to understand. Draw near to him. He has like a magnet. He attracts them to hear him. Now, here came the Pharisees and the scribes. And what they do, they do what they do best. What is it? Complaining. By the way, I met few Pharisees in my life. And some scribes too. The scribes always have some extra note to hand to me. Pastor, here's a little note for you. Oh, I met some scribes in my life, quite a few of them, and some Pharisees too. And believe me, they are very unique. And they said, this man receives sinner. How can you be a religious person and not accept or not embrace or not try to reach out for sinners? That is a very empty church when there is only saints can come. Even the pastor has to go. Everybody has to leave. I heard once somebody comparing the church as a hospital. Have you heard that before? And sometimes people say that it's a hospital, so I'm going to go there. I'm sick. But when it comes to church, they refuse medication. They refuse treatment. And then the church that was supposed to be a hospital becomes a morgue. Because they come, they refuse to change, and they die. And so as we speak today, let's remember the reason why the church exists. So that we may receive sinners. That is the purpose of this church, is to receive sinners, but not for you to come and park and enjoy your sin as you are here. You don't come here to go out and remain the same. You came here because you want to be changed. You came for grace, and grace you shall receive. If grace is what you're seeking, if you want to be transformed, if you want to be justified, you are right in the right place, because that's where the Good Shepherd is telling you it's time to change. And eat with them. Oh, how terrible. He had a potluck with them all the time. This is a guy that only thinks about eating all the time. Everyone has to eat at least twice, once or twice a day, at least. So he spoke this parable to them. And as you know, the first parable that he spoke was about the lost sheep. I put this word lost here, and I noticed that in this case, he's now going to be talking about the coin. But every time you see the word lost, I want you to think about the word cost. Because there is no way we can reach the lost unless we are willing to pay the cost. When you become part of the mother church, you don't come here just to have a free ride. The church needs your hands. The church needs your feet. The church needs your talents. The church needs you completely because you are the body of Christ. Everything in you, everything that belongs to you should be about redemption, should be about grace. The grace that you have received, you must be gracious and share with others. Because God is count on you so that lost can be found, but the cost needs to be paid. So the woman, he says, the woman. Luke 15, verse 8 to 10. You know what is missing there? the coin, the O. Luke says, or Jesus starts, says, or what woman having 10 silver coins? I preached a message here probably years ago or months ago about those 10 silver coins as an application for the Ten Commandments. That she lost one and the Christianity ignored that one. Today, I'm not going to use that approach. Today is a different one, okay? 10 silver coins. If she loses one coin, let's say that in case that happens, no matter how perfect a church may be, no matter how perfect a mother may be, sometimes one child becomes the rebellious one. It happens. No matter how dedicated, no matter how much you dedicate your life to your children, remember they have the power to choose and they may make a choice that doesn't agree to what you want them to. It happens. It happens to church. It happens to mothers. It happens to everyone, every family. It happens. But what do? You never give up on them if you are a good mother. If you are a good church, you never say, oh, we are a church with 10,000. You know some churches that have, they have 10,000 members? You know, 2,000 members, 3,000 members. Do you think the pastor even know those members? I went to become a pastor, my first English-speaking church. And I arrived there, and they have a satellite, and they have a screen also. And before the service started, they had a 3ABN on for those that arrive early in the church. And so they have the 3ABN on. And there was this pastor preaching on the 3ABN. And I noticed that one of them, the members there that put, that was in control of the PA system, the one who put the 3ABN on, he was talking to somebody, says, oh, that used to be our pastor. And then his mother came in. He said, yeah, he is very powerful preacher. And I'm listening to all this, you know, all these compliments and everything else. I kept interested in a conversation because we're talking about the preacher. I honestly didn't feel jealous. I just got there. I barely knew them anyway. So they were talking, kept talking. And then the lady said this. He was an excellent preacher, very powerful speaker. But I don't think he ever knew my name. He will come, he will preach, he will leave, and he did not know a single member. All the years they stayed there, he didn't relate to any of the members. His business was to preach and walk out. You know, preaching is good. It's part of our responsibility, not as a pastor only, but every one of us is called to preach. Amen. But there is nothing else more powerful than a personal relationship with each other. Amen. Because that's what makes us the body of Christ, is the connection, the need that we have for each other. And the more we realize this, the better church we become. We become a good mother if we carry this much. If she loses one coin, she may say, I have many. I can spare one at least. It has cost too much to go after this one that is lost. Let's move on. We'll get another one to replace it. No. Not if you are a good mother. You don't say, I'll give birth to another one. Let's forget about that one. I'll have another one. No. It says, she lights a lamp. The lamp. And then she cleans the whole house. Do you have an idea what this cleaning house means? All those bad doctrines that infiltrate in the church, all those bad teachings that comes inside of the church. All those practices, sometimes there are churches that reflect, that looks like the world so much that we don't even understand why we need a church if we behave so much like the world. What is the purpose to even have a church? A church is not to reflect the world. The church is to reflect upon the world. We are supposed to give light to the world and not get the darkness of the world and bring inside of the church. Some churches are going so far on these social issues, you know, like everything is fine. Caesar tells one thing and the church started practicing the next day. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, because we live in a time when good people are being intimidated to be silent. Every time we say something that is correct, we need to look over everywhere to see if somebody is not recording us and put us on online. And ridicule, we live a time when you are good, you're being ridiculed. When you are bad, you're being lifted up and praised. Oh, it's your right. Remember, we never spoke more about rights than ever. Now, everybody has a right, but the only one who does not have a right is the right one. If you're right, you don't have rights. But if you're wrong, all the rights belongs to you. And this is the world that we are living in. So no wonder why churches need to go back to the lamp to make sure that if we want to be instruments of grace, this is the only place you find grace. Here is where grace is. And clean the house. Some churches don't even know what the word discipline means. They haven't heard that so many times. There are people, sometimes they marry one person, it doesn't work, go and marry somebody else, it doesn't work, marry somebody else, and go on and on. There are people that are come to church and they are clearly stating they are using drugs. The church knows and nothing has been done about it. And I'm not talking about discipline to punish. The word discipline does not mean to punish. When this woman, the good mother, was cleaning her house, it was an act of grace to try to find the lost one, to redeem the lost one. The intent for us to use discipline not as a punishment, as an intent to help to recover. And by the way, brothers and sisters, think about this. It takes resolve to bring results. You won't find the lost unless you pay the cost. And she was willing. And I have no idea, ladies, you may help. Depends on the size of the house and how many furniture you have. She took a little time to sweep the whole house. And she went to every corner of her house. And those little fellows, you know, the coins, you know what happened to them, right? They are very unique. You drop them. You think that once they drop, they're going to be right there where they drop. No. They have some little thing that goes, because they are round and because they have some weight, they have a tendency to fall and find a little corner that nobody can see them. It looks like they have a mind of their own. They just go and find a little corner. And then, if you do not notice that dust keep coming, all the things, you move the furniture, and pretty soon, that coin is lost. Lost because of its weight, lost because of its shape, but not because it chose to be lost. A coin is a symbol of people that come to church Sabbath after Sabbath, Wednesday after Wednesday, and they don't grow. They're stuck. We need, brothers and sisters, to have a renewed experience. The Bible says that one thing that God had against the first church is because she lost her first love. How many times do you, please don't raise your hand, how many times have you stopped to think a little bit about the day that you accept Christ, about your baptism. How many of you take time to celebrate the day you were baptized? I'd like to ask you to think about it. You celebrate the day you got married. You celebrate, hopefully, you celebrate birthdays. You celebrate a lot of things. But the most important thing, probably you're leaving, you're not paying too much attention to it. Because the day you are first born in the arms of the good mother, in the arms of the good shepherd, it is the best decision you have ever made in your life, because that is about eternal life. That is the day you embrace grace, and grace embraces you. So don't let it go. It says that she will put all the time is needed, all the effort that is needed, until she finds it. That is a good mother. That is a driven mother. That is a real mother. She takes the light. Brothers, we need to spend more time with the light, or darkness will come. We'll be surrounded by darkness. And do you know what darkness, what likes darkness? Evil. Remember when it gets dark and crime goes up? Because the prince of darkness get all his disciples, all his gangs and everything else, they go out to commit crime. If you don't have the light, the dark one will come to your life as well. Light the light. Read your Bible. Don't read because you have to. Read because it is part of what you are. How many of you here has to be punished to eat? Do you have anybody here, mothers? Do you have to punish your children to eat? Probably punish them not to eat the junk food, but you never have to force your children to eat. Have you ever have to force anybody to breathe? Why we do? Well, what about to drink water, liquid? We don't force. Why we don't? Because you know that if you don't take those things, you die. I'd like to say this to you, church, children of the good mother. If you don't have light, you will die. Light is essential for life. Life and life are basically the same. Jesus says, I am light, and he is also life. We need the light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Yes. And a light to my path. If those that do not have a light, they have no idea where they're going. And you know what happens when you have no idea where you're going? You're lost. Psalm 119, verse 105, New King James. She looked everywhere. Every single corner she looked. But the reward is for those who have resolve. Resolve brings results, as we said. And when she found it, it says, wow, she calls her friends and neighbors together. By the way, just a little note for your extra for you. In Greek, her friends and neighbors, in this case, is female. So she's calling all the churches. That's her friends and neighbors, are all the churches. Female, another ladies, and I can guarantee you are good mothers as well. A good mother called another good mother who knows the value of finding what was lost. Because you see, if you try to share your joy because you did something with somebody who does not appreciate what you're saying, But if you are a good mother, and you have found the lost coin, you find somebody who can appreciate what you just went through. And that's why the friends and neighbors are good friends, are those like her. Like her. So, in other words, good mothers don't have friendship with bad mothers either. They don't get along. Rejoice with me, she said, for I have found the peace which I lost. Did she really lose it? What happens when a coin is missed? Even though if it's inside of your house, you may have $1,000 in one of your closets there that you don't even know that you have there. Nah, it's not going to happen. But some people may not, maybe not $1,000, but you may find that you go into your pocket. What, $20? Oh, I found $20. Have it happened to you before? It happens. Sometimes we forgot complete that we. Wow! And some people say, "Oh, I'm gonna go out for to buy lunch." Immediately they think about the $20 was there all the time. The whatever dollar bill was there. As long as not being touched, as long as not being found, it has no value. The only time the value is restored is when it's brought out. And this coin, silver coin, lost its value just because it was covered with dust. But once that she recovered. Now Jesus Christ started to tell this to those that were called by God to be good shepherds. He was talking to the Pharisees, the scribe. They asking them, this is what you're supposed to be doing. God called you to be instruments of grace. You're supposed to be reaching out for those that need you. But instead, they fed from the people. They didn't complain when they received money. They didn't complain and say, oh, this comes from a tax collector. Or this comes from a sinner. No, no, this is money. Good. They just took it. But they did not value them the way they should. Likewise, I say to you, Jesus Christ said to this to the Pharisees, to the scribes, to the tax collectors, to all that came to hear him. Some came for the wrong reasons, some came for the right reasons. And I hope you're here because of the right reasons. It says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. By the way, the word angels here, if translated, it means in the presence of the messengers of God, the true shepherds of God, being them in heaven, being them here, it says they're in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What kind of sinner? How many sinners do we have here? Few. Okay. I am one of them. But there is a distinction. I tell people sometimes, a sinner is a sinner, isn't it? No, no, no. We have sinners that are walking towards God. And we have sinners that are walking away from God. They are both sinners. But there is hope for one. And there is destruction, condemnation for the other one. It's not who you are, it's where you're going. What you're searching for. If you are here today, and you are searching grace, you came to the right place. This is a good mother. This is what we serve every week. We serve grace because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of the Good Shepherd. I hope today you are the sinner who repents. I hope that you understand that in order for you to receive grace, you need to bring repentance with you as well. It was found. Brothers and sisters, a good shepherd, a good mother. It is part of the same process. It's all about you. It's all about eternal life. The good shepherd, the sheep knows him. I am the good shepherd, he says. And I hope we as Vista Church can say, we are the good mother. Amen? Amen? We know who our shepherd is. And he is the good shepherd. Some people sometimes, the same church that I was talking about, that I went, was my first English-speaking church. We had a lot of visitors because this was in a desert. So people, there's no birds. You know, during the winter time, everybody wants to go to El Centro because over there is nice during the winter, very nice and warm. So a lot of people came, and they will come. And during the potluck, I heard people saying, "And who is your pastor?" And somebody pointed to me, and somebody said, "Oh, you are the pastor. Pleased to meet you." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm just an assistant. The pastor of this church is the good shepherd. And when you say to anybody, who is the pastor of the Vista Church, don't say Pastor Elson. I'm just an assistant. Tell people who is really the head of your church. Tell everyone who is the head of your church, and they will come to hear him. They will come because they know that this place will have grace. I know my own sheep, and the church must know her children, every one of them. And when one is missing, the church should get together and, as an act of grace, call and talk to them and make them feel that they are loved and they are precious to the mother church. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save which was lost. That is exactly the mission of the Good Mother. Precisely. For the Good Mother has come to existence in order to save that which is lost. That is exactly the mission of the Mother Church. As the Father knows me, and the Good Mother knows the Father, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Every good mother will be willing to give her life for her children. And that's what makes her a good mother. And all the sheep I have which are not of this fold. Then also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus Christ says, I know some that are supposed to be here, they are not here yet. So don't be, the Lord Jesus will bring them. No, you are the arms, the feet of the church. You need to go and do your part as well. Jesus Christ said to this individual, he was a person who was very involved in his church. And Jesus told him, you have to come out of that church. You have to come to the Good Mother. Do you know who this person is? Nicodemus. What must I do? You have to be born again. Why you need to be born again? Because you need another mother. You got yourself involved with a bad. You need to be part of a real mother. That's why he needs to be born again, to the real good mother that would take care of him. And he did. And he became one of the pioneers of the Christian faith. His support with everything he had, he gave to the church. And that's how Christianity was able to grow, because he really dedicated himself. You know that a lady, if we could call her lady, she was not much a lady. She was there. She came in the moment that nobody else was supposed to be there, because she didn't want to talk to anybody. She just went in the hottest part of the day to take water. You know the story? Jesus met her. They called the Samaritan lady. She was a sinner. And she would not come to listen to Jesus and everything else. So Jesus went for her. She was the lost sheep. And he had this discussion. You can read this afternoon in John 4, verse 1 to 26. I'm giving you the text because some of you are so good in doing homework that you... Really? that you will be doing this afternoon. You can go there and check it out. Okay, that's why I put the text over there, just for you to check the story. But you know the story. When Jesus told her, I know your life. I know who you are. You don't know who I am. But you see, now I want you to think about what Jesus says. I know my sheep. So he said to her, I know you. I know the bad things. I know. But Jesus knew that she had a good heart. Bad behavior, yet a good heart. And so Jesus wants to plant a seed in that good heart, because that was one of his sheep that was not of the fold yet. So he offered her redemption, and she embraced. But look at her question. In verse 20, she says, our fathers worship on this mountain where we are right now. Here it used to be a holy place. But you know, you Jewish people say that we must go to the church in Jerusalem. Which church should I go? Basically what she was asking, in order to find redemption. Jesus told her clearly, there are many women, but there is one good mother. And that is, and he point exactly where she should find salvation. Mark 10, 17 to 27 talks about this young, it says, the rich young ruler. What happens to him? He was going to church. He was a person who spent all his life in church. He said, I am been church since I was a little one. I heard Jordan's story. I went to church all those years. I have been there. I have been there all this time. But Jesus told him, you have to leave your church. You need to go to a good church. In a good church, you give all. You don't give just, you don't practice this and this and this and you think you're done for the day. You have to commit 100%. Now, you all Seventh-day Adventists, you are familiar with this picture, don't you? Is this a good mother? No, this is a mother who can care less what happens to her children. All she wants is party. She wants to, see, that's the cup that she has, that has wine, fermented wine there. Look, all the jury is all about me, me, me. Have you seen ladies that act like that? It's all about them. That is the figure represents a bad mother. And what does Jesus Christ says? He says, then I heard another voice calling from heaven. It's Abba calling from heaven, says, come away from her, my people. You have no business in being that place. And by the way, this call is not only for you, for me, but this call has been for Nicodemus, for the young ruler, for the Samaritan woman, for everyone. Saul was asked to leave the bad mother and come to be part of the good mother. He says, do not take part in her sins. If you embrace the sin, what do you embrace? The consequences. He says, or you will be punished with her. Whatever the destroyer will do with her is going to do with you if you are part of that. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another of to acts of love and good works. Let's be a good mother. Let's be instrument of grace to others. Let's show other people there is hope. Instead of fear, give them faith. Hebrews 10, verse 25, New Living Translation says, and let us not, Brother James made a reference in his prayer to this text, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Some people are so busy not to get involved with church. By the way, I would like to let you all you know, there is prayer meeting every week. If you don't want to become weak, come to prayer meeting every week. As some people do. Yes, sadly, some people do. There are lost coins that don't want to be found. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of His returning is drawing near. Brother, I know you have heard this many times. Since you became Seventh-day Adventist, you probably heard, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. I like to say something to you. Yes, He is. He hasn't broke one single promise. Every promise He has made, it has come through. And this is one that is drawing near. More than ever, I am convinced that more than ever, this is about to happen. And then the great shepherd. Which kind of shepherd? Great. Oh, he went from good to great. That's a good, right? He went from good to a great shepherd. And in the book of Hebrews, there is a text that is called him a great shepherd as well. It says, and when the great shepherd appears, great sheep will be there waiting for him. Do we have any here? Who is going to be there waiting for the great shepherd? I'm glad to see how these youngs, they were so fast. That shows conviction. Unless you're sleeping, you should raise your hand. I am going to be there for God's grace. I'm going to be there. Do you know why? Because I know that my great shepherd wants to see me.